Okay, now where was we at? Now, those that were sworn in, would you, everyone in favor, we'll take you now, please.
Yeah, I'm Ed Sparrow, and I'm the president of Delaware Manufactured Homeowners. Okay. I'm also the state code inspector for the Relocation Trust Authority. Okay? So one of the things, as I've listened to all this, is that, first of all, I heard Mrs. Sisk's name 67 times in a very short time. My problem with all that is we were here about a shed, not about Ms. Sisk. Okay? The other thing that I'm here about is that in some of the statements they said that the moratorium and the problem started with Ms. Sisk. I beg to differ. They started with me. Myself and Bob Stickles and two people from the county came down to look at double wides that were placed in Sea Air along with Charlie Marsh, and some of you people may remember him. He's dead and gone now. But we looked at those homes, and when you stepped out of the homes, you were already in somebody else's property. Now, I met with people from Sierra, and I say Sierra, Sun Communities, that were flown in from Michigan. And I won't say they lied, but they did fabricate some stuff that they said to me. And it didn't fly. And I talked to Mr. Stickles, along with some other county folks here. And at that time, they were going to place the moratorium. Now, that I can tell you for a fact. Okay? The other thing I can tell you is that I have been to at least four meetings here with Mr. Burrell, with Mr. Lank, with Dave Baker, with other folks, Hal Godwin, I think, is still here. And in several cases, I had some promises and I had some thoughts that did not work out. It's neither here nor there why. I'm not here to point fingers at anybody. I just believe that this shed is a shed and not the doggone Taj Mahal. And it's about time we got to work on issuing permits the way they should be issued. They say you need to go get a survey. Somebody please show me where you've got to go get a survey. I heard Mr. Lank state that Sun Communities got a survey, that they were well lined out. Is that correct, Mr. Lank? Is that what you said?
This evening, I've never mentioned Sun Community.
Okay, you, Sierra.
I mentioned Sierra as far as permits.
Okay. So anyway, the survey was supposed to have been done. If this survey was done, then I have a question. In 115-172, Item 4 of the Sussex County Code, it states that the lot should be 50 by 100 and that all corners of the lot should have visible markers. If you go to Chapter 25, or Title 25, Chapter 70 of the state code that I helped write, I can tell you that it states in there you will have every community will have every lot marked on all four corners visibly and numbered. That has not happened. And my question to anyone in here is, why would you pay to get a survey if the people who owned the property did their job properly to start with? That's my question. That's all I've got. Any questions with me?
Any questions? No, sir.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Good evening.
My name is Susan Lausche. For well over a year, I have witnessed an upstanding senior lady, Jean Sisk, manipulated by your boards. Your actions have been so arbitrary and capricious that it's difficult for me to even know where to begin. You and your boards have worked so far away from your own code standards that it is almost impossible to know where to start to cite the non-compliances. We have double wides in parks that have received variances that shouldn't. We have double wides in parks that have not received anything, that were just placed there and do not have occupancy certificates. Fortunately, I have read the code, and I don't know sometimes if you have, and I've included it in a packet if anyone would like it. Let me also remind you that I have furnished you many times with shed replacement requirements for not only your code standards that have a section on sheds, but also Newcastle County and Kent County, which also, like yours, do not require permits or variances or any other requirements. I would like you to fully research the health and safety benefits for shed placement guidelines before you enforce them with Ms. Sisk. Examine the unwritten requirements that you have imposed and retract them if they're not supported by your code. These other two counties have both used guidelines that have worked successfully using the same simple standards as you. As it stands now, there is a section in your code devoted to sheds, and I have pasted it below. Successfully, you can find this by entering the word shed in the word search of Sussex County Code, and it does not come up in accessory building. It has its own section. It has come to my attention that some members of your boards have tried to shove the word shed into another category called accessory building. The word shed does not appear in accessory building section of your code. Why do you insist on putting it there? They do not occupy humans or need occupancy certificates. If you go to Lowe's to purchase a new one, they are called sheds. And if you put the word shed in the search of Lowe's, presto, they call them that too, or storage sheds. Not an accessory building or any other name. Hundreds of different materials, styles are offered. The other big home store, Home Depot, yes, you guessed it, when the word shed is inserted into their search, also you'll find hundreds of sheds, not accessory buildings or any other name. All different styles, materials, and sizes are featured. Using the rule of placing a shed X amount of feet from property lines and X amount of feet from homes, whether they are stick-built or otherwise, whether the material should remedy both health and safety concerns for placement. The other two counties use these same guidelines as you. I would like to list my manufactured home as a mansion for resale, but we all know that it is not. I am sure I would have a hard time trying to convince a real estate agent to list it as such, so I think you get the idea about using another category. We have many, many community parks on leased land that are in non-compliance with your codes. Variances are handed out like Halloween candy. Applications are entertained and accepted without proper proof of hardship and extraordinary circumstances or exception as dictated in your code. Then variances are granted without merit. We, the homeowners, are suffering the damages of flooding, erosion, safety concerns due to placement of double-wide homes, additions, decks, porches, all placed in non-compliance with your code. Many of us have been retaliated against for whistleblowing by both the park operator and Sussex County Council and the boards for bringing these up, these non-compliances. Communities are required to have 50-foot landscape buffers surrounding the park, 300 square feet of recreation area per home. Lots must be a minimum of 5,000 square feet, and they must occupy no more than 35% of the lot, unless there is an extreme circumstance. That's one-third of the lot. I ask you, when you look around this county and you look at the homes placed in these parks, are you looking at homes that are only occupying one-third of the lot? I don't think so. We have hundreds of homes placed in non-compliance, and these are very hazardous to all of us. And yet today's burning question and concern at this hearing is Jean Sisk replacing her shed with another in-kind, because my brother's in construction and they call it in-kind, with another in-kind shed or the same footprint on the lot. And she has a single wide home. We also have this grandfathering and this moratorium. These are all just tactics to put pressure on Ms. Sisk from other homeowners in her community to shut her up, to stop quoting the noncompliances that are in her park. There's no grandfathering of a lot. There's grandfathering of a home that was originally placed there, but when that home is removed, it is clear in your code, as you will see attached, that that grandfathering goes away when a new building goes on the lot. And all current codes now apply. The community's lease requires Ms. Sis to replace her shed when necessary, and she did. She does not own the land. And if you go by the code and Chapter 70, Title 25, which Mr. Spiro just said, the lines have to be already clearly marked. All these restrictions are put on the landowner or park operator. Why are you having us do it again if it's already dictated in the state code and the county code for them to do this? Why would you have us pay for that to be done when it's already required of them in the first place to run and operate a park? And certainly, it's difficult for us, not only the expense, but to order these things done on land that we don't own. Homeowners are already responsible for school taxes, sewer capitalization infrastructure loans, and other expenses that are typically, in the other two counties, a park operator's expense. You demand us to pay the park operator's operating expenses in all these situations. And it's unique to this county and this county only in this state. Please review your codes and the state code and work accounting with all these laws and codes in consideration. And thank you so much for your time. Would you like a copy of my sightings?
Anybody want a copy? Mm-hmm. No, ma'am.
Anybody have any questions?
Any member have any questions? Mr. Workman?
No.
Mr. Johnson? Mr. Mills? No, ma'am.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Good evening.
Good evening, ma'am.
My name is Bobby Hemrick. Thank you for allowing me to speak this evening. I promise you I will be brief. I have been involved in this case from the beginning and have witnessed firsthand what has occurred. Let me begin by stating that the community of Sierra Village is a disaster with regard to county codes. In many instances, they have been doing everything backwards, such as putting on decks and additions, adding new sheds, even selling homes to be placed on lots that have not had a variance applied for, much less approved. It has been the old story of putting the cart before the horse, and then the Board of Adjustments puts it through because it's a done deal. There is, in this community, at least the appearance of special consideration and/or retaliation in some cases, both on the part of Sierra Management and Sussex County. Gene Sisk has had the same size shed located on the same place on her lot for many, many years. It deteriorated and was badly damaged in a storm. If she did not replace it, she would have been cited by management for having a shed in poor condition. She installed a new shed, same size, same location. I have seen it myself, and the footprint is clear. At the very most, she might have needed a building permit, but even that is questionable because it was simply a replacement in kind. She certainly should not have been required to get a survey or a variance. The ensuing fiasco that has taken place for nearly a year and a half has been both a travesty of justice and a huge waste of taxpayers' money. Many people have been hurt and severely inconvenienced by this. During the course of this time, Jean Sisk has attempted to comply with all that was asked of her. With all of the violations and disregard for the county code that has been allowed in Sierra Village, the very idea that Jean has been forced to endure great expense, destruction of personal property, not to mention harassment and huge emotional stress over replacement of a damaged shed, is beyond belief. I ask that you do the right thing this evening and grant Gene Sisk's appeal. Thank you. I gave you a copy.
Gentlemen.
Good evening, sir.
I'm Vice President of Sierra. Jeannie was the president at the time this was all going on. Strange that she should be now suffering because she wanted to put a shed in. After a year and a half, you people have been confronted with this same problem. You're still confronted with it. What's it take to get a shed in? We want to build a mansion, as one already mentioned. What does it take to get a shed? The lady, she wanted to put the shed in, so she did what exactly she thought she could do because it was replaced. That's all she needed to do. Then we find out, as you now know, and we have found out later, you now need a permit, you need a survey, you need a variance. And if you go to the county, the request is get them. So if you go down and you get them and you bring this variance to you people and you deny it, isn't that a pretty good deal? $1,000 of your money's down the drain. That seems to be backward. Something's not right here. Something's a little wrong. All for a shed? So I'm here asking you to really consider this. How many people have bought sheds and put them on their property in Sierra in the past year and a half? He said, no. I can go to show you exactly how many it was. I'll point them out to you. One was just done 3 weeks ago. Did they get a permit? I called, and they said no. I was now told today that they did. So I don't know who to believe. But I know the county said no. So why are we having this kind of a problem for a little shed? You want to do this to maybe a woman or a man wants to put on an addition, an 8x10 or 8x15? Yeah, okay, I can see that. So can you, I'm sure. But an 8x10 shed? Certainly not going to live in it. You're not going to put a commode in it. So what are you going to do with it? It's an unusual situation. But why would you have to spend all this time, a year and a half, dragging it out? Why? You want to punish her? You're doing a good job. That's all I got to say for you.
Thank you, sir.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Pat Weil.
Good evening.
I'm a resident of the Bay City Manufactured Homeowners Park in Millsboro. I'd like to speak to you tonight on how Jeannie Sisk's shed issue affects me. All the commissions in Sussex County are intertwined. The action of planning and zoning has an effect on the Board of Adjustments, and the Board of Adjustments has an effect on County Council. Over the past 10 years, Bay City has placed over 60 double wides in Bay City. I've checked the variance filed for Bay City over that time frame, and there's less than 10. These are variances to add structures to homes that are already not in compliance. The Planning and Zoning Department issues the permits that allows violations of your own codes, violations that create health and safety issues for homeowners. Then the homeowner comes to the Board of Adjustments to get approval to exceed the 35% code or the setbacks after the fact. The work of adding decks and the like has already been done. In a recorded Board of Adjustment meeting, our landlord of Bay City stated under oath that he's done it this way for 40 years and Sussex County has never said anything to him. I recently requested the Freedom of Information from the county on the list of violations for Bay City. I received copies of 3 violations and a copy of a courtesy letter. Out of 60 homes that violate the code, 3 violations were issued. Even after 2 of these violation letters were issued, Planning and Zoning issued more permits for 2 of those homes. Now about the shed. The courtesy letter that was in the file was concerning my shed in Bay City. we received a courtesy letter after an anonymous call. We were advised that Planning and Zoning received an anonymous call stating that our shed was not in code. The same day as the call, an inspector was sent out, and we received a letter concerning our shed being in violation. We met with the landlord to get the information on the permit for the shed. We purchased our home that had the shed at that time. Our landlord told us that there were no permits required for sheds back in the 80s and the 90s. We met with Mr. Lank and advised him that, according to our landlord, that there were no permits required to obtain a shed and that we didn't place the shed, so we couldn't be responsible for that violation. After finding out that we didn't place the shed, this letter is now being referred to as a courtesy letter. My point to the county is that Jeannie's shed and our shed were within months of each other. I know in my heart of hearts why I got that letter for my shed. I'm passionate about manufactured housing. You've seen me up here. You've heard me before. And I know that's why that violation was issued to us about our shed. The county issues permits violating county code, creating health and safety issues. Then when brought to their attention, the reply is that they don't have the resources to enforce the code. There are over 40 homes in Bay City with stormwater runoff issues, creating major health and safety issues. But the county has resources to go after Jeannie for her shed, to send an inspector to my home the same day an anonymous call is made. I am very vocal in manufactured housing issues. All of us are watchdogs for manufactured housing issues. We are a voice for the resident that has been misrepresented, and We are a voice for the resident that has been misrepresented, and we do want to ensure the government's accountability to citizens. That's why I'm asking you to do the right thing. Is the shed the real issue here? Bay City also had a moratorium and a survey. In our meetings with the county and also in the meetings with our residents, we referenced Mr. Burrell's statement years ago that all manufactured home parks should have a survey done. We recently had a survey done and approved by Mr. Baker. Many of us still do not have markers on our lots. We're told that we have to obtain a survey to get a permit. I need to obtain a survey on land I don't own? The survey was just done. This landlord spent, I can imagine the amount of money for this survey. And I, in turn, have to get another survey? We're here tonight for a shed. A shed. Not a home. A shed. In my heart of hearts, I can't believe you want to go after a senior citizen and manufactured housing about a shed. All of us could be spending our time and money on bigger issues. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Is that all? Okay.
Sir, I apologize. I wanted to go ahead and make part of the record the two property cards we talked about for lots A16 and A18, okay. If I may make those.
Sure. And give them to the secretary.
On those, that there is a shed listed for lot 16, Miss Six's lot. But
you
it's
can't
called,
say her name. That was number 68. You have to call her something else.
Though. Yeah.
6x6 shed is listed on that card. And can I ask Mr. Lank a question? If a 6x6 shed is listed on that card, is it fair to assume that there was a permit for at least a shed?
Not necessarily.
Okay, so they would...
The assessment office has been known to pick up information when they go out on site and actually for assessment purposes, pick up a building for assessment purposes.
Okay, so...
It may not have been a shed.
So they would list a building that even if there was no permit for it.
Right.
So...
The assessor had been out and measured and established what was on site and put it on the record.
But isn't it fair to say that probably these cards were created after those structures were already in place?
Typically they are, because the assessor creates a card.
Okay. So I don't know if you've seen these cards. Would it be fair to say that these cards were created after these particular homes were placed?
They would have had to be, because the assessor goes out in the field and measures the improvements and establishes what's on that specific lot.
Okay.
And then notes, usually by their initials and the date that they provided that information.
You wouldn't
typically at the bottom, on the bottom left-hand corner, is a date, and it tells you how old the improvements are.
It wouldn't necessarily check if a permit had been issued for those structures.
Oh, they do, because they were also known to issue violations as if it were the zoning office that issued a violation.
This is an appeal, and I just want to make this comment that I think a lot of this could have been avoided. And this is just a suggestion. If the county would put on its violation notices some language that says, if you think that this violation notice is wrong, if you think it's an error, you have the right to appeal. And courts have that language on notice. JP Court uses that kind of language. You have a right to an appeal. And that tells the public that you have a safety valve. I really think that this case would not have dragged on as long as it had if it had been known that there was an appeal. And as my client testified, she went to planning and zoning and says, can I appeal this decision? And I said, no, you got to go to court for that. I had the same experience when I decided to help her with this variance. I said, well, I've got to find out what the procedures are. What are the procedures for an appeal? And I came over to planning and zoning and I talked to the nice lady at the desk. I said, what's the procedures for an appeal? She said, you got to go to court. So I would just offer this as a suggestion to the county. You need to educate the people and let them know that there's two things. There's a variance and an appeal, and they aren't necessarily the same thing. And I think making the public know that there's an outlet, this board serves as the safety valve when there are problems, when people say, hey, wait a minute, this violation is wrong, or this granting of this permit is wrong. I have the right, there's an appeal process. And I just think it might help if the public is aware of that. Ms. Sisk is asking that the fee be waived for this case, and I think we've set forth the adequate grounds for the appeal, or in the alternative, the variance. And I think that I wanted to make one other comment about the code, the Sussex County Code section 6916 sets forth that the procedures for the Board of Adjustment. The county has to set forth the general rules for the Board of Adjustment, and the Board of Adjustment can supplement those rules by procedures adopted by the board. To the extent that there's a requirement for a survey as a condition of filing a variance, which the testimony shows that Ms. Sisk said you can't even file your variance request unless you have a survey, I would submit that I'm not aware of any county provision that requires a survey. I'm not required of any state code provision, and I'm not aware of any requirement that's actually been adopted by the Board of Adjustment. So I would submit that it would not be proper for the county to require a survey as a condition of applying for either an appeal or variance unless it sets forth in either the county code, your rules, or in the state code. And so for that reason, at any point in time in this process that you feel that Ms. Sisk was told you can't file your variance or your request with us because you don't have a survey, I would submit that that statement was not accurate, not correct under the code, and that should be the grounds for the appeal.
Okay. All right, gentlemen. That's all the testimony. Back and cross back. So hearing nothing further, Chair will entertain a motion.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I'd like some time to consider all that we've taken in this evening, and I make a motion we table case number 10,500 to our next regular meeting.
Second.
Okay, I got a motion by Mr. Mills, and a second by Mr. Hudson, that we will table case number 10,500 until our next scheduled regular meeting, which will be on October the 19th. All those in favor of the motion, give the usual voting sign.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion so carried. That allow the members enough time to go over all the information that's been presented. I do it? No. Yeah. Scared him. Yeah. Here we go. I'm going to get done that. Okay. And we're going to go back under advisement. We got one case under advisement. We'll take that one.